Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
As I was praying about tonight, trying to get some kind of a indication from the Lord as to what he had had me talk about, he kind of laid it on my heart. And it's really funny because I'm as bad as anybody about this, so that's probably why he wanted me to talk about it, so he could teach me about it as well. But trusting in the Lord. I can worry about things. You know, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. You know, Paul tells us be anxious for nothing. We see all kinds of examples of men of faith in the Bible. And the word, see, trust and faith and belief is just nearly the same word. It's just translated in English. English is kind of a different language than when you would translate from Hebrew and Greek even. But the word for faith and trust and belief is they're all rooted in the same words. So. And we see guys that have faith, and we see guys that in the Bible that have some pretty adverse conditions. You know, Paul, man, he was getting beat up every town he went to. You know, I mean, he just by looking on without knowing, if he didn't know God, you'd think, man, that guy had a really rough life. The children of Israel, they had a pretty rough life, you know, whenever they were in Egypt. And yet these people still believed and still had faith and still trusted in the Lord. You know, they were a people of faith. They were God's chosen people, and they still believed. They still believed in a deliverer, you know. And right now in our country, really, it's not really even a country thing anymore. It's a worldwide thing. This economy, and it's really a worldwide economy that's shaken. And most every nation in the world is really having problems. The Japanese, the European markets, you know, everybody is really struggling right now. And people are getting laid off. You know, unemployment's as high as it's been in decades. You know, we've always had ups and downs, you know, but we're like doing one of these numbers, and you just think, wow, what's going to end? What is going to end? How's it going to end? You know, when is it going to end? Is our economy going to come back? Am I going to get my job back? You know, a lot of people, and I would encourage you while we're talking about that to pray for anybody that you know that has lost their job, and there's a lot of other people that we don't know of. You know, we know that there are people out there that have lost their job. Pray for those guys. You know, as you think about it and you're in prayer, just pray for those guys that, you know, that the Lord would provide. You know, maybe they're not going to be as well off as they once were, but you know, maybe that the Lord would at least provide to keep the wolves away from the doors, you know, that they wouldn't lose their homes. There's a lot of foreclosures going on, and people being in despair right now. And there's some Christians, you know, and like I say, myself, you know, I can worry about what's going to happen and what's going to be around the what's going to be around the corner, and am I going to have my job next month, or am I going to, you know, this or that, you know, and I've got to trust God. And I've really, you know, in the past 7 years, I have really been blessed because God has given me a wife that really encourages me in these times. You know, I'll be kind of worrying about something and just wondering, you know, and even stressing and all like that. And my wife will say, you know, God has got everything under control. God is still in control. God is still on the throne. God's going to take care of us. And he's going to do just that. I mean, we don't exactly know what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. It's the old, we need to stay in the Word, just like Pastor Dade was talking about this morning, you know, staying in the Word, and we'll know it. We'll have all the words for life and godliness. We don't know what's ahead for us. That's why the Word says that thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. See, a lamp is something that don't put out a whole lot of light. It just, you know, gives you just enough light so you don't step in something. And if it was a quartz halogen light that would shine down the path, you know, 6 months or whatever down the line there, it might freak us out so bad that we would run from it and not, you know, and not want to continue on the path that God's laid before us until we're there and prepared for it. So, staying in the Word. And so on this trusting God, on this trust, I just went down and Googled the word trust and just got about three or four definitions of the word trust. And it's a noun in this sense. Reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc., of a person or thing. It's confidence. And when I read that first one, I thought, wow, that's God. You know, his integrity is awesome. You know, we know that by reading his word. His strength, he's the creator, you know, so he's got all the strength. We know he's able, you know. And surety is like a guarantee. You know, if you get, you know, the word says sure, you know, use it for surety in the Old Testament, you know, that's kind of like a guarantee. And he's really guaranteed that, you know, he's given us the Holy Spirit for a guarantee. And we can put confidence in him. And when I read that, I thought, yeah, the first thing, I mean, you could just clearly see that that's God, Jim. So what's the problem? Study done. We could go home now. But saying that today and seeing something happen tomorrow that, you know, goes against the norm, I guess I should say, for us, kind of shakes our little world. And definitely, I would say that the world is definitely being shaken right now. It's also a confident expectation of something, and that's hope. Confident expectation of something, and we're expecting God to come back. And for us, we don't know when, but we're confidently expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and get us. And even if that confident expectation takes us to the grave, we're still going to have confident expectation that the Lord's going to come back and get us. See, Paul even thought that the Lord was going to come back in his lifetime. And see, the Bible says that some are going to think that he's delaying his coming, you know, and he's not really coming. It's, you know, and they're going to get weak in this confident expectation. You know, they're gonna fall away. You know, they're not gonna have the strength to endure this, you know, waiting on God. And so we do have to endure. Trust is also a person on whom or thing which one relies. And their little example here is God is my trust. And so God is my trust. God is what I am putting my trust and putting my faith in. And it's also the obligation or responsibility imposed on a person in whom confidence or authority is placed, a position of trust. And it's like God is fulfilling that position of trust, and he is letting us know that his qualifications are definitely valid by his word. And so what I've done is I've just taken a few psalms and one proverb, and I just want to read these to you, and in hopes that tonight you guys might be encouraged to trust in the Lord. You guys might have a word to give somebody that may need to trust in the Lord. There's a lot of people out there, and there's going to be, and I don't think that things are going to get a whole lot better real soon. So if you guys have the tools that you can use to encourage someone else, that would be awesome. You know, I mean, and people are going to be wondering, where do we turn? What are we going to do? You know, there are some guys there at work that, see, earlier on in the year, we had a layoff at where I work in January. We had another one about two or three weeks later. And one of the guys over in another department, you know, wow, man, he's all wondering, what are we going to do? And I just told him, I says, now like never before, we need to put our trust in the Lord. Because all this stuff is failing. All this man stuff is failing. And you know, every 4 years, you know, we get a vote for some guy that everybody thinks is going to make everything okay. They did it when President Bush got elected, you know, in his first term. It was, he's going to come on the scene and he's going to make everything okay. That ain't going to happen. He's just a man. You know, he did his best, you know. I'm sure he made some bad decisions. He may have even been influenced by the enemy to make some certain decisions, you know. I mean, I could only imagine what trying to be president would be like. And now, we've just recently elected another man that a lot of people are thinking that he's going to come on the scene and he's going to make everything okay. It's just really not going to happen. There's only one man that's going to come, and he's going to have a kingdom on this earth, and he's the only guy that's going to come and make everything okay, and his name is Jesus Christ. And one day we're going to be a part of that kingdom that's going to be here on the earth. You know, and that's the only really confidence that we can have. That's the only confidence, the word of encouragement that we can have for somebody is place your trust in the Lord. Place your trust in God. I've just got some little excerpts here of these Psalms. We're going to really, the bulk of my text is going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. And then I'll read these psalms to you and, you know, comment here and there about them. Psalm 115, verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord... is not like a terror, you know. It's not like, oh, there's the Lord. How am I? We gotta hide ourselves. Those are the guys that are that don't know God, and that are in the end, they're going to be hiding themselves from God because they don't know. They won't know God. And we do. We know God is a just God. He loves us, you know, and. And so for us, we're not in terror, we're not terrified of God. But this fear that you're talking about here is just a respect. It's like we think of God and we think, oh, wow, yeah, he's given his son, you know, and he's came down here and died for our sins, and that's really awesome, and he doesn't hold our sins against us. But then we think, whoa, if he just really was so to mind, he could just say, be gone, Jim, and I'd just disintegrate, or the whole world, or whatever. So someone with that kind of power, although we're not terrified of him, we have this respect almost to a fear, and that's where they get the fear at, is, wow, if he was to take an ocean, he is capable of doing anything that his heart desires, you know, to us or whatever. But he doesn't, because he has compassion. So you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You know, the shield is just something that is going to keep the sword back. You know, like back in these days, their shield was their friend. You know, it was next to their sword. Their shield would keep their enemies back, keep the blows of the enemy at bay, and keep the blows of the enemy from harming them. And all, and that's God. He's our shield. He's keeping the enemy's blows from harming us. Psalm 118, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." And we can read the Word of God, and we can pretty well kind of see how things are going to go down. He's promised that in the end days, he's talked about that in his Word, that in the end days, we're going to see things like we're seeing right now. The economy, you know, being shaken, the whole world being shaken. Israel standing alone in the world, you know, and not having somebody to come alongside and protect and all. And right now, the United States would come alongside, if somebody was to really jump on Israel too bad, the United States would come along right now and to their aid. And that's not standing alone in the world. That's having an ally. And Pastor Wayne told me, he was an assistant pastor here several years ago. Some of you may know him and some of you may not. He's really a good guy. He said that something has got to take the United States out of being in that position. And he says, really, there's only two ways that it can be done, either militarily, you know, somebody can come over here and bomb us, blow us up. And he said, that's really probably not going to happen right, you know, anytime soon, because we are who we are. Or he said, we could be taken out economically. And that could be happening. I mean, we're shaking right now. And if something was to really happen, we could be scrambling to recover from it, you know, just because, you know, of the way things are. So one or the other could happen. And I've thought about that for a long time. And that was like, that had to have been around probably 1993 or 1994. And I thought, you know, I just kind of set that off to the side. And then the longer I've gone, you know, it's like, wow. And then here in the past couple years, you know, it's really been coming on, you know, pretty strong here for a couple of years. And then here in the last year, you know, things have been, you know, shaken, and the you know, the Dow Jones is down, way down there from where it was, you know, and your 401, I don't know if anybody's looked at their 401k lately, you know, and all, and it's like a fraction of what it once was, you hear on television about people, some older people, me and my wife was going to be retiring here in about a year or so. That's not going to happen now, you know, and if they lose their jobs, you know, it may have to happen, and we may just have to take the Social Security thing, and that may just be about all we get, you know. So with that, trust in the Lord, you know, that if that's what we get, that's what we get, and the Lord will provide, and he will take care of us. Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hand to iniquity, which we might, likely. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord's going to deal with the unrighteous. The Lord's going to deal with the righteous. But I like that one. It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And I've been shaken before. I've you know, laid awake at night and wondered, you know, it seems like for me, things go along okay, and then it just like peaks out and it overwhelms me. And I'm like, you know, and then I can't quite come through it. And a lot of times I've talked to my wife in those times, and she's just really a blessing and has really helped me out. Just like last week we were talking, and just the fact of just, I called her at break time and we talked for about 5 minutes, something like that. And it was just a strengthening. And it's awesome. A brother can be that way for you also, if you're not married, or a sister or whatever. If you have a friend, a close friend that you can call, and you know, somebody that can just that you can just talk, you know, and not have to worry about them saying, well, you know, you need to X, Y, and Z, you need to pray more, you need to, you know, do this or whatever, you know, and be real judgmental on you. But you know, somebody that is a friend that'll just give you some comfort and tell you, you know, hey, the Lord's still on the throne, and God is still in control, and he still loves you, you know, that's really a comfort in these times, and it helps us not to be able to be moved, you know, we need to have that strength. The Lord's not going to put anything on us more than we can handle. We think that he is sometimes. We think that he's really, okay, God, you've really outdone yourself this time, you know, and I can't go on. But he's just stretching us. He's stretching our faith, you know, and stretching us out there so that we will be stronger. So don't be moved. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And that right there is a verse that I will read often, and it's really cool. I got a friend of mine at work, and he's got that scripture written on a little yellow sticky note stuck on the side of his toolbox, and it's just a comfort to go back there and see a scripture on somebody's toolbox, and then as you go back, you can read that, and it's like, yeah, right on. Yeah, that is right. In all our ways, acknowledge him. That if he didn't give us the sense to do whatever it is we do, we wouldn't be able to, you know, do our jobs. The jobs that we do, God has given us the sense to do that. He's given us the education to do that. He's given us a brain that works, you know, most of the time. And he's provided all these things. And I have to keep that in mind just so that, you know, I don't get all full of myself and, you know, in those times where something gets fixed or something gets done or whatever, you know, I have to remember that of like, wow. Because like before I came to the Lord, it was all me, and I was pretty intelligent. Now I've come to realize that I'm really not all that intelligent, and it's really God is the one that's directing my path, you know, and it's just like, wow, I have done things a lot of times that it had to be God that kept me from going too far, you know, and messing something up or whatever, and I would measure something, and it would just be, I would think I had way more material to take off, and I'd measure it, and it was like, whoa, good thing I quit when I did. Thanks, God. You know, and I gotta thank God, because it's God that is preserving that, preserving me and keeping me from getting in trouble and, you know, doing something dumb and all. So acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And I found another one in Isaiah 26, and then we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 11. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And these are just about a half a dozen scriptures here. Whenever I went in there, and I got a quick verse program, and I just typed in trust in the Lord, and there's probably 20 or more scriptures that came up just right off the bat. And if you just type in the word trust, there's even more. And we're getting ready to read, it's kind of, Hebrews chapter 11 is kind of like the hall of faith of these guys that did outstanding things because they had faith in God and they trusted in God. God is really awesome. And he's going to help us through everything that we go through. He's not going to, if we get into a tight spot, he's not just going to reach down and grab us by the head and just set us over here in safety. He's going to reach down and grab us by the hand, and he's going to walk over there into safety with us. If he just picked us up and moved us over, we'd never learn anything, and we'd just be, you know, every time some little thing would happen, we'd just be tripping and be looking for God to just come in and save the day. He does, but he doesn't save the day in the way that we might think. And he's always there with us. So now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to go through that a little bit here and just see what's in that. It says there in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that's really kind of those definitions all rolled into just one sentence that we had, you know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we walk on a belief in God's word. God's word tells us that he is trustworthy, that he is, you know, that he is faithful. And the Bible also says that he has given us a guarantee, that the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, and that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us with the Word and with the Holy Spirit as we read the Word and as we seek God. The Holy Spirit tells you, wow, that's right. And you can, and he comforts you. And as you read, you're comforted. And you think, wow, thanks God, you know. And it's not, and somebody else says, well, prove that, you know, prove what you just, you know, what you're saying. It's some kind of a feeling. Well, no, it's really not a feeling. It's just a confirmation. You just get a confirmation in your inner man by that still small voice that God's word is right, that you're moving in the right direction, that you're trusting in God, and okay, I'm going to step out in faith here, and you wait for God to direct your path. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. And now we know that everything that is made, and see, this was written a long time ago, before they really had any way of knowing about atoms and everything, and the things that are made are were not made by things that are visible. They're invisible, but yet it's just as solid as anything. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. And I've heard people ask, well, why was Abel's gift accepted and Cain's not accepted? Well, it was because Abel offered his gift in faith. Cain probably offered his gift not having faith. But this word right here is telling us that by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony, or he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And here's the one right here. But it, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So without faith, without trust, without belief, it's impossible for us to please God. And we want to please the God that is, that loves us, that has provided our salvation, that directs our steps, that is our shield. You know, we want to please this guy. We want to please this person. And so we begin pleasing him by having faith. And as we go through our walk, as we see our brothers and our sisters and everybody go through some really rough times, and we obviously see that God, wow, man, God is really providing there. God is really taking care of that person. That strengthens our faith. And then whenever they see something going on in us, then that strengthens their faith. Or if we share a scripture with them, or just share something. We could share something that happened in somebody else's life, and we could see that God is working there, and we share it with them, and they see, wow, you know. So by faith, our faith strengthens someone else's faith. Someone else's faith strengthens our faith. You know, we have to believe that God is, to start out with, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what we want to do. We want to be diligently seeking him. We don't want to just say, okay, God, be my Savior, and I'll read a couple of verses of the Bible, and then I'll put it up on the shelf, and then I'll go ahead and live my life just like I was. That's not diligently seeking. You know, that's diligently seeking is, well, I've read this book of the Bible 22 times, and this is my 23rd time, and every time you do, you're going to get, the Lord is going to put a little bit more light in your life. You know, he's going to open up a scripture there that, wow, I've read that 22 times, and I've never seen that before. Wow, God's word is alive, and he wants to do a work in you by this living word. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is according to faith. God told him it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and I want you to go over there and build a big boat, put all the animals in it, and put your family in it, and float away. It had never rained on the earth until that time. And people are thinking, what are you talking? Rain? What are you talking about? It's not going to happen. 120 years it took him to build that. A lifetime for us. Over a lifetime for us. But by faith, he did it, and look what happened. 8 people were saved through water. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It'd be like us today, you know, God in a prayer, in a vision or something like that, and okay, I want you to leave Wichita, and I want you to go out into the middle of the Mojave Desert, and that's where I want you to live. Please. Or I want you to go up to Alaska. That'd be the one my wife would hate. She doesn't like cold. And so it'd be like, oh, come on. You know, I don't know. And see, he told Abraham, okay, go out here and just leave. And then as you're going, I'll kind of direct your path. And then you'll end up where I want you to be. When he was called out to receive the place which he would go, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He was just going to wander around. And then as the Lord guided him, he would go where the Lord would have him to go. And then he ended up in this place that Israel has to this day. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was like 90 some odd years old, 94, 96. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. That always has cracked me up. And therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, he was older than she was. He was like 100, 99 or so. And so God's not limited. God's not even limited by our physical infirmities. He can still get his plan done. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embracing them and confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For as those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And really, that them includes all of you, all of us, because we've been grafted in to this big family of God. It's not just the Israelites. It's not just the church. It's all everybody, everybody of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that Abel was able to raise him, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. If you remember, whenever they went up, they piled all the wood up, you know, and tied it in a bundle, and he put it on Isaac to carry it up there, and they started going up on the mountain. And Isaac said, "Hey, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice, Dad?" And Abraham says, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." That was in faith. You know, I mean, that's like, okay, God, man, you're going to have to come through on this one, because, you know, this is, it was, I'm sure that the thought could have hurt him, you know, hurt him, and just was like, oh, God, my only son. It would kind of give you the, the thought of God giving up his only son. You know, seeing Jesus going through the things that he did for us. And that could have, you know, that definitely would have hurt God. I'm sure that God's heart was aching for it, aching because of it, but Jesus was willing to do that, and we're blessed because of it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. That was before the children of Israel was placed into bondage by the Egyptians. And by faith, Joseph knew that they were going to be going back to their homeland one day. He said, "Oh yeah, by the way, when you do, dig my bones up and take them with you, because I want to be buried in my homeland." By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he had become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. They knew that there was going to be a deliverer. And at this point in time, Moses didn't realize it was going to be him. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And you remember the Passover lamb, they kill the Passover lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And the Egyptians thought, "What are you guys doing now? You're smearing blood all over the door here, you know." And they did it by faith because God said, "That's do this. This is what I want you guys to do." And they believed it. And they did it. And they lived. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. You know, and you hear about all kinds of people trying to explain, you know, how they could have done that, you know, and the wind blowing the water back and all. And, okay, that's all fine and dandy, but now explain how the water, how the ground dried up. You know, I mean, you got water on dirt for a long time, like the Red Sea has been. It's going to be, mud's going to be pretty deep there. It's not going to be very easy. The wind's not just going to dry it right out, and you're going to walk across that on dry ground. That is faith, and it's faith that we believe that. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, and also of David and Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these have obtained, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Maybe things aren't going to get a whole lot better. Maybe they will. On this earth. But we've got a promise. That Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many mansions. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. It is going to be so awesome for us. I think it's Peter that says that time is going to be so magnificent that we're not even going to think back to this time. It's so going to take our breath away. So I encourage you, trust in the Lord. Read this book. Talk to God. And be encouraged. Take strength in knowing that God is faithful and that He is worthy to be trusted. Try to encourage somebody that needs encouragement. And receive encouragement from somebody that's trying to encourage you. Someday, whenever it's, you know, difficult, you know, and the road seems rocky, and somebody comes up and says, trust in the Lord. You know, receive that. It's easy to look inwardly at those times. It's easy to not see the big picture and just be focused in on where we are, you know, what's going on with us right now. And everybody has them. Everybody has those times. Everybody has those struggles. And being a good brother and sister, you know, reach out to those people. Help them to trust in the Lord and to not falter. Let's pray. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to take your hand and walk through the valley of the shadow of death and to fear no evil. Because we know that you're with us. We know that you want to be with us because your word has told us that, and we believe you. We are, as your son Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, our flesh is weak. We ask that you would just strengthen us, that you would help us to lend a hand to a brother, to a sister. And in doing so, Lord, help us to strengthen their faith and strengthen our faith all at the same time, that we might be able to trust you more, that in those rocky roads and days ahead, Lord, that we might be encouraged and be able to withstand that, you know, withstand the shaking, withstand anything that would be going on. And those people that are outside the household of faith, help us to give a good report, to give a reason and a testimony of the faith that lies within us, of that hope that lies within us, Lord, that somebody else might be encouraged to have faith in you and trust you and be saved and be on their way to this land of promise, Lord, that you've promised us. So, Lord, I ask that you just bless these brothers and sisters. Bless those, Lord, that weren't able to make it tonight. Just take them home safe and sound. Help them to get plenty of rest because of the time change, Lord, and help everybody not to be all tired all week long trying to get used to the new time. Strengthen their bodies, Lord. Strengthen their minds. Strengthen their faith. And we'll just give you the glory and the honor for it, Lord, for you are the only one worthy to receive any glory from us, any glory from anyone. We offer this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.